Morning, church. Our Bible reading for today will be taken from Mark 2, verse 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word unto them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And so, our Father God, we pray this morning. We thank you, first of all, for bringing your word to us. Your word is spirit and it is life. We thank you for this passage, and we thank you for Math that will come up and speak about this. We pray that as he rightly divides the word of truth, that your words will be, that your spirit will energize those words, and that they will become life unto our spirits, unto our souls, unto our bodies, and meet us at the point of every need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Great. Thanks, Deborah. That chosen video to start off is quite powerful, isn't it? A lot of Christian movies or things, if we're honest, are quite cheesy and quite bad. So, and maybe in a few years' time that'll be as well. But it's helpful, isn't it, when we see these things to get a picture of what it looked like back then, but also believing that Jesus is alive, and that also that in heaven today he's being worshipped, and we get to join with that as well. And I just wanted to start with a bit of a strange question, but what's more important, being healed or being forgiven? Sophia, what's more important, being healed or being forgiven? For instance, if I took Yayan on the, he's got a BMX and he's got those stunt pads on the back. So if I said, I'm going to take him down to Sainsbury's and he's going to stand on the back, but I didn't have a helmet for him, and Becky specifically said to me, "Whatever you do, don't go on the roads." But then when we were riding down, I was feeling a bit confident. I thought I'd go on the road a little bit. And then what happens then if we get hit by a car? And we got hit by a car, maybe Ian hit his head, but he was okay, but I broke my leg. Like, would I rather then live with a limp for the rest of my life and receive Becky's forgiveness, so she's forgiven me, but I've got this limp, or my leg be completely healed, but never be forgiven by Becky? Like, what would I rather, to have that forgiveness of someone, or to be physically better? And today we hear an amazing story of Jesus' healing power, but there's something even deeper going on here, a story about forgiveness. And if you have your Bibles open with you on Mark chapter 2, it's most likely, does anyone want to say what the title is above it? of what you've got on your on chapter 2. Anyone want to shout it out? Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man, or both. And so, because today is both. A lot of us just think this is the story of the power being healed, but it's both. And these are the verses. They're intentionally small because they're all on the thing. But if you have them in front of you, then these are the verses from today's reading. But it said, like Deborah read, it said, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, nor even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. And some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. A few weeks ago, we were looking in Mark chapter 1, and it talked about Jesus healing a leper, someone with leprosy. And if you didn't hear that, then you can go back on YouTube. But unlike lepers, those who suffered from paralysis or were paralyzed were not shunned by Israelite society, since their condition was not contagious. So for the leper, people avoided them. They thought they were going to get it off them, but if someone was paralyzed, they didn't have that. However, because disease and disability in general back then were assumed to be the immediate consequence of sin or their parents' sin, this man was probably likely to be stigmatized by many in the community, or many people thought that he'd done something really bad because he was paralyzed, or his parents or his grandparents had done something really, really bad, and so he was paralyzed because of that. That's what some people would have thought. That would have been a horrible weight, not just for him, but also his parents, isn't it? If you're a parent and you have a child who has a disability, for them people to think it was your fault because they were disabled, it would be a horrible false weight for them to carry, and for him. And because of his condition as well, likelihood would be that he wouldn't be able to go to the temple or synagogue very much, especially as he grew older and grew heavier. And you'd have to go to the temple and synagogue to offer sacrifices in regards to giving praise, but also to be forgiven. And so maybe he felt like he not only could not go, but he could not be forgiven because he can't do these things. And so this is the situation that this guy has been living with. And then verse 4, it says, since they could not get him, he said they were carried by four men, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat he was lying on. And I was going to bring up some kind of picnic blanket and get one of the guys to stand here and then four of you to walk him round. But we all know humans are heavy, aren't they? Like, human beings are heavy. And if we did that right now and four guys carried someone around, we could probably do a lap. But even if I said to him, right, I want you to get onto the stage here without getting hurt, even that would be an effort, wouldn't it? Like, human beings are heavy, and carrying people can be awkward. It takes four people to carry this paralyzed man, four men to carry this paralyzed man. And carrying someone is hard work. Like, this isn't pushing someone in a wheelchair now with smooth pavements and disabled parking out front given priority. Like, this culture is totally the opposite. It's almost like, unlucky mate, you're in the back of the queue, and rather than being helped, like, you're shunned. Like, this is the environment that these people were in. But some of them, we have four, are carrying him. Four guys are carrying him. And the crowd, as we saw in the video, there's a massive crowd, and these four guys are carrying him, and they see this massive crowd. Now, they're carrying him. There's two reasons why they're carrying him. Either they're paid to carry him, but because he's paralyzed since birth, then he probably doesn't have much money, doesn't have much income, so we probably put that one out. Or the only other option why they're carrying him is because they really love this guy. That's the only other option. They really love this guy. Either this guy was a relative or a friend, And they'd heard about the leper. This guy, Jesus, had come back. They'd heard Jesus was back. And they're like, this is our chance. Like, this is our chance. So they carried this guy because they really loved him. So this is hard work, but this is loving work. They are literally carrying this guy physically and also in faith to Jesus. This is a physical thing, but also carrying him in faith. And not only did they carry him, like, they broke into someone's house. Like, not only did they, like, kind of carry him, like, they broke into someone's house just to get into Jesus. They didn't see, if we saw the crowd and no way in, most of us would have thought, all right, we give it a try, don't we? Like, we had a go, but no one's letting us through. And they're like, oh, there's a roof there. Like, what about the roof? And it's almost like, well, not only is that hard work, but we're going to have to pay for that. Like, if we break their roof, like, we're going to have to pay for that. So this is a financial cost as well. And imagine what people are thinking in the video. If you want to go on The Chosen and watch later, it shows a bit more before and after as well. But imagine what people are thinking. The four are thinking, maybe, like, will this work? Like, we've got him this far, will this work? The crowd are thinking, like, what's going on? His disciples are thinking, what do we do now? And me as a homeowner would be thinking, who's going to fix my roof? Like, who's going to fix the roof? Who's going to sort that out? And it's just that idea of carrying people in faith. And part of our role as Christians is to carry people in faith. And sometimes that's physically. Sometimes we need to care for them physically. But also spiritually as well, carrying them in faith in prayer. And for some of you here today as well, like, you need to be carried in faith. I just felt that on my heart. For some of you guys, you've carried many people for many years in faith, and you're in a season where you need to be carried in faith, whether that's physically or spiritually. And if you've been given out a lot of, we would say as a church, we've got some great older people here, haven't we, who've been faithful and loving and kind, and you've been carrying many of us physically and spiritually. But maybe it's your turn for us to carry you a bit. For us to carry you in faith and physically, and for us people, for us to realize that and to help people as well who maybe can't do that for us, and for us to, as a church, to carry one another physically but also in faith to Jesus. But then in verse 5 it says this, it says, and then when Jesus saw their faith, do you notice that? I'm looking at your Bibles on this screen, verse 5, it said, when Jesus saw their faith. Like, whose faith did Jesus see? Like, whose faith did he see? If it was just the friend's faith, then this man would have come reluctant or screaming or doubtful. And we don't read that. We don't read that. And if only the paralyzed man had faith, then we wouldn't hear the words there. It would have just been the guy's faith. But unlike the video, we never hear of any of them saying anything. But we soon read, Jesus reads someone's mind. So maybe Jesus is seeing something here that we're not seeing, and is seeing all of their hearts. Is seeing all of their hearts, all of their faith. And like we've heard in the previous stories in Mark 1, where Peter's mother-in-law was sick and she was unable to speak or be up, we've realized our faith can get people healed. Like, we can believe for people to get healed. We can pray. We can have faith. And things can happen from our faith. We can have faith to get people healed. And that's what it says there. But the friends had faith. It wasn't just the friends had faith that this would work. But our faith, if you read this carefully, you might think this, but it's not true. But our faith can't get people forgiven. Our faith can get people healed, but our faith can't get people forgiven. And that's why it says there, it must mean the friends and the man. They all believed. This was a communal belief of the friends and the man. One commentator says this. He says, the statement seeing their faith seems to indicate more than just a belief in Jesus' ability to heal, which says in John 2, But the forgiveness that the Lord granted indicates a genuine, repentant faith. This man, along with his friends, must have believed that Jesus was the one who offered salvation to those who repent. And then he says this, and then he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Again, it's a strange story, isn't it? Like this, he's obviously paralyzed. He's come here for that. And then Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus didn't mean what the culture meant. Jesus didn't mean that this paralyzed man was especially sinful or this was caused by his parents and he was just making things worse. But he addressed the man's greatest need. His greatest need and the root of all of our pain, of all of our suffering, of all of our disabilities, which is man's sinful condition. Like that is the root of all, and Jesus addresses the root of man's sinful condition. A theologian called Wiersbe says, "Forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs." Like forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need, it costs the greatest price, and it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting results. When we read the Gospels and the stories, and maybe when we ask the kids, what is Jesus' greatest miracle, or maybe our signs, we might think feeding the 5,000, or walking on water, or healing the paralyzed man. But isn't the greatest miracle that you would forgive me and you? That you would forgive us. That is, you would actually forgive us human beings. And verse 6 says, "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" And they were correct in some aspects, weren't they? They were correct. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus just said, their sins were forgiven. So Jesus here is acting in the place of God. If he just talked about the healing part, then they might be okay with that. But Jesus here is acting in the place of God. So it's either massive blasphemy or he is giving people a clue of who he is. It's one or the other. Either this guy is a massive blasphemer or he's giving people a clue of who he is. And the first century Jews identified three levels of blasphemy back then. The first is a person was charged with blasphemy if he spoke evil of the law of God, so the law of Moses or the Ten Commandments, if he spoke evil or talked rubbish or talked bad about them. And Stephen and Paul were both wrongly accused of doing this. So that was the first form of blasphemy. Check out the second and think of a nation today of Wales. A second, more serious type of blasphemy occurred when a person spoke evil of God directly, cursing the name of the Lord. Like cursing the name of the Lord was a crime punishable by death. Like, and think of all, and even maybe ourselves, when we've said maybe the word Jesus Christ as a swear word, or "Oh my God" is almost a joke for kids now in today's generation. Like this, that was punishable by death. And thirdly, and thinking about Jesus, a third form of blasphemy, even more heinous than the other two, took place when a sinful human being claimed to possess divine authority and equality with God. And that's what these religious leaders are seeing. They think Jesus is a sinful human being and that he's having equality with God. For a mere mortal to act as if he were God were the most grievous offence of all. And this is effectively what got Jesus killed. When they said, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God?" Jesus said, "I am." And he took those words, Yahweh, from when God said that to Moses. Jesus not only said, "I am," but also he used the words of God. And that's what got him killed. That's the only thing that got Jesus killed, is him claiming to be God. But then verse 8 says, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Why are you thinking these things? He knew what they were thinking. And it just stood out afresh to me that Jesus knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in your heart right now. He knows what you're thinking. And he knows if you're in a tough place. He just knows if you're in a dry place, if you're in a desert place. He knows that. He knows that. And so you don't need to fake that. You don't need to pretend. You don't need to put on a false front if that's where you're at. He knows that. And so if that's where you're struggling with, then share that with other people. Also, if you don't believe, he knows that. If you've got a false belief, or if you just feel like you're playing the game or you're relying on yourself, he knows that. And he knows that that's not going to work when you see him. If you're not trusting in Jesus. Jesus knows our hearts. He knows. And so where's your heart at? Where is your heart at? If you're in a tough place, if you're in a struggling place or a dry place, which all of us do, don't we? All of us as Christians, we go through. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to share with one another. That's why we need to be vulnerable with one another. And that's why we need to pray for one another and be accountable to one another. He knows that. But also he knows people who really believe in him or really don't. And we need to just pray for one another on that. And so where's your heart at? And if you need, I often as a Christian, I don't know about you, but I often feel like I need heart surgery. God, will you touch my heart? My heart is hard, or my heart sometimes feels really sinful. Will you touch my heart afresh? Please, God, touch my heart afresh. And verse 9 says this. It says, which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? It's a good question. It's what is easier, healing or forgiveness? That's what he's asking. What is easier, healing or forgiveness? Jeff, who's a retired dentist here, he will say, a dentist can take out a rotten tooth, but he can't take out rotten thoughts. A surgeon could make your leg feel better, but he couldn't heal a damaged soul. Or a physio could do wonders with your back, but they can't work on a hard heart. And so what is greater? What is easier, he says, to get your sins forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? And so what is, or even the question, what is greater? Think about this. What is greater? Complete healing of a physical life that lasts around 70 years, which on average is the human age in the UK, I think. So complete healing of a physical life that lasts around 70 years, or the forgiveness of sins for the last 70 years to get eternal life. I know it's what I want. What is greater? 70 years living, even if we say pain-free, which we know it doesn't, but 70 years living pain-free, or 70 years of forgiven sins for eternal life. I know we want both, don't we? And Jesus gives both to you, but I'm not very good at maths, but I'll take this one every day. Every day. And in this story, and in this video, what are we more amazed about? I showed this actual video in Thornhill Primary. I was doing an assembly this week, and I'll be honest, I kind of forgot I was doing it, and then I was preparing this, so I was oh no, I don't know what to do. So I just did this video and asked them questions. But it was good. But I asked them the question when I showed them the video. I said, what was the greatest thing about the video? What was the greatest thing? And they all said, Jesus healed a paralyzed man, which is amazing, isn't it? That is unbelievable. It's amazing And even when he twitches his toes, like, that's amazing, isn't it? Like, and we want that. And we believe that. We believe Jesus can do that. And for many of us, like, we say that's the most amazing thing. Yet sadly, paralytic people could be healed and yet walk away from with unforgiven sin. We could have a stage where people are physically healed and yet people walk away from unforgiven sin. And that's maybe that's one reason why the doctor's surgery is open every day of the week and busy every day of the week, and churches in Wales are maybe less. It's because we want temporary healing rather than eternal forgiveness. We want these temporary fixes rather than eternal forgiveness. And one author said, forgiveness is an invisible action. Jesus healed the man visibly to prove that his invisible act of forgiving sins was also effective. It's hard to conceive of how Jesus could blaspheme God in one moment and then heal with God's power in the next. His healing demonstrated that he had the authority from God for both. And verse 10 says, but I want you to know, Jesus is saying, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And what a scene that would have been, isn't it? To just see that and to just, like, and it says in verse 12, and he walked through the crowd. Amazing, it just kind of, and the amazing thing as well, he even interrupted Jesus when he was in his sermon. Like, he just stopped there, and there's just all this, and just this motion, and the Luke's account talks about taking off the tiles and just the noise and the mess and everything. And everyone had seen this guy be lowered into the room. People who had maybe known him in the area of always being paralyzed, and yet he meets with Jesus and he walks out with the mat that he was carried on. The mat that he was carried on, he's now got it under his arm. And he's walking out with it. And Jesus used this temporary physical healing to confirm his authority to give eternal spiritual forgiveness. And check out this quote from John MacArthur. He's an American pastor, theologian, and author. And this is an amazing quote, but also really sad. Check out this part as he talks about this. He says, the difference between those who look forward to eternal life in heaven and those who will experience everlasting punishment in hell is not a matter of personal goodness or religiosity, but it is bound up entirely in one word, forgiveness. Forgiveness. And it says this, it says, and since all have sinned, and Romans 3 tells that, since all have sinned, both eternal destinations are inhabited by people who were sinners in this life. And it's true, isn't it? Like, we're just forgiven. When we go to heaven, we're just forgiven sinners. And those in heaven are granted divine forgiveness and righteousness that is given by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, which we believe is true. But look at this one in yellow. I read this week, and it really hurt my heart. But ultimately, God does not send people to hell because of sin, but because of unforgiven sin. Like, look at that. God does not send people to hell because of sin, because otherwise we would be going there as well, but because of unforgiven sin. Look at that. Hell is populated by people whose sins were never forgiven. Like, that's heartbreak, isn't it? Like, Jesus has paid the cross for everyone to trust him and for everyone's sins to be forgiven. And if you don't know Jesus today, he's paid the cost for you to do that. And yet hell is populated because God is a just God and he's a loving God. He has to judge, and he has to judge sin. And so people who experience will be eternally separated from God is people who are trusting in themselves and not Jesus. They're saying, I don't need your cross. Like, I'm good enough without your cross. I don't need you to forgive my sins. Where Jesus has said, that's the only way for eternal life. And that's heartbreaking, that hell will be with people who are unforgiven sin because they haven't trusted in Jesus. They've trusted in themselves. And it says this finally, simply stated, every person's greatest need is the need, is the forgiveness of sin. Consequently, the greatest benefit of the gospel is its offer of divine pardon to those who believe. No other religion or human goodness provides the means for full forgiveness. And it's true, heaven and hell, eternity with Jesus, without Jesus, it's going to be full of sinful people on this earth. And yet one is forgiven because they trusted in Jesus, and one is not because their faith is not in Jesus. And it says this in last verse, he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. Amazing scene. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Amazing, incredible physical healing. Jesus had healed a fever, he'd also healed leprosy, and now he had healed someone who was paralyzed. This is the kingdom of God coming and fighting a battle against sin and the effects of sin. And we still believe God can do miracles, amen? We still believe that, and we still need to pray for miracles, amen? And believe for those things. But also this story has made us realize forgiveness is the most amazing miracle we can receive from God. And finally, just to finish, this is a book. Has anyone heard of the, I think a few people, Joni Erickson Tada? Yeah, a few people have heard of her. And this is a book about heaven that I've been reading. And so you can get this on any online. It's a great book. But it's written by this lady. And if you see the things that when she was 17 years old, she lived a very active life with horse riding, swimming, and all these things. And when she was 17 years old, she dived into like a lake, misjudged the water, and became paralyzed literally in an instant from that. She's now 74 years old, and so she's been paralyzed from the shoulders down. So she can talk and think and speak, but nothing else. And she learned to paint with her teeth, and so this is an amazing book, and if you're a Joni as well, and you're reading this story, she's probably been praying to be physically healed for her life, hasn't she, and kind of wrestling with that, and she talks about heaven and how we'll receive a new body, and she obviously she can't wait for that, can she? She also for a new mind, and so there's chapters on this. But check this out, from someone who's been paralyzed now for over 50 years, okay? Listen to this for what she's looking forward to the most. And it says this, it says, please don't assume that all I ever do is dream about springing out of this chair, stretching glorified fingers and toes, and pole vaulting over the pearly gates. However much I relish the idea of leaving this wheelchair behind, that is still for me not the best part of heaven. I can put up with legs and arms that don't obey. For me, hands that refuse to pick up things, no matter how much my mind commands them to move, are a fact of life. I can cope with this. However, there is something that I can't cope with. In fact, the older I get, the closer to heaven I draw, the less I'm able to adjust to it. I am sick and tired of combating my flesh. That is the law of sin at work within me. And then she says, that's why the best part of heaven will be a completely purified heart. It says, I'm weary of constant confession. I despise sinning. It pains me to keep erring and straying, to do the things I shouldn't do, to always fall face in the dirt, grieving that I miserably offend the God I love. My heart is soiled and stained, and that drives me to the Lord on my knees, in brackets, at least metaphorically. What's odd is the closer I draw to Jesus, the more intense the heat of the battle. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. One day, Jesus will come back to complete this salvation he began when I first believed. I can't wait to be clothed with righteousness, without a trace of sin. True, it will be wonderful to stand, stretch, and reach to the sky, but it will be more wonderful to offer praise that is pure. I won't be crippled by distractions, disabled by insecurity. I won't be handicapped by a ho-hum half-heartedness. My heart will join with yours and bubble over with extreme adoration. We will finally be able to fellowship fully with the Father and the Son. For me, this will be the best part of heaven, a forgiven, not sinning, purified heart. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing, of just the desire of that, but also of our greatest need for that. The band are going to come up now, and we're just going to reflect on that with some songs. But yeah, just have a look at these questions before I pray, and we've had some time. Yeah, just have a look at these things to see if there's any things that you want to do with the Lord this morning. Yeah, Father, we thank you for your compassion and how you dealt with people who were outcast in society. Lord, we just thank you for how much you love people and change things. And Lord, we just, in awe of your healing power, the miracles that you did and your grace to people who you healed, and we just thank you, Lord, that hasn't stopped, and that you continue to do that, and we continue to believe for that, Lord, and help us have faith and pray and believe for more, Lord, in your name, Jesus. But also, Lord, we just thank you for the greatest miracle of all, that you would forgive us, Lord, that you would call us children of God, that you would accept us because of everything Jesus has done. And Lord, you know our hearts. You can see our hearts and our mind right now. And we just pray you help us be real, Lord. Help us be real with you. Help us be real with one another. And Lord, we just pray for everyone in this room. We pray for everyone in this area of Cardiff, and for Cardiff and for our nation. Lord, your blood is shed for all of them. And Lord Jesus, we just pray for people who will trust you for the forgiveness of sins and not themselves. Lord, just that idea of heaven and hell, those who are forgiven and those who aren't. Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord, that people will not just come to you for physical things, Lord, but they will want you to forgive their sins. And we just thank you, Lord, that there will be a day, Lord, where we'll have new bodies and new minds, which will be great, but also we'll have a new heart, and that we will worship you in holiness, face to face. So until that day, Lord, help us carry on. Help us continue to worship, not just in our singing, but in our lives. We give it to you afresh. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen, God.